Okay, I'm Craig Poston. If you're new here, counseling minister, and even this morning, 8 a.m., I received a call from a lady who said, you don't know me, but my husband and I are struggling in our marriage, and we want to start off 2017 strengthening our marriage. Would you please meet with us? And so that's what I do. Be glad to meet with you. If there's any issues, we can just look at the Bible and see what God wants to do in your life. Be glad to do that. Many of us make resolutions. I personally don't, all right? I don't know why, when I started this, but years and years ago, I just take one of the fruit of the Spirit, and I say, Lord, this year, it's this fruit. And every day, I just have a simple prayer, Lord, help me bear this kind of fruit. Help me be more like Jesus with this fruit of the Spirit. I just do that day by day throughout the year. That's kind of the way I celebrate. Instead of the fruit of the Spirit, I'd like to represent for us or present for us an insect that you can pray every day, Lord, I want to be like this insect. Now, Byron had props, and I was thinking of bringing a little ant and giving everybody an ant, but that just didn't seem appropriate, all right? But God, as Aaron read, gives us four insects and says, these are great insects, be like these insects. That's kind of unique. Four little creatures: ants, rock badgers, locusts, and lizards. All right? Anybody ever prayed, Lord, make me like a locust? All right? All right? Well, you probably don't have that prayer. Today, just for the sake of time, we're just going to take the first one, the ant. All right? Proverbs 30:24. Four things on the earth are small, but they're exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide or store up their food in the summer. So turn to the person next to you and say, be the ant. All right, be the ant. That's this year. All right, now I like to identify Bible doctrines with sermons, and the doctrine here is doctrine of perseverance. Perseverance or self-discipline. Now, God exalts the ant in Proverbs 30 as an example for you and I to follow as godly wisdom in life. Long before Supreme Allied Commander Dwight Eisenhower led most powerful army in the world to defeat the Axis power in Operation Overlord, and then to become our president for two terms, as a 10-year-old boy, Eisenhower had to learn to conquer his own will. Halloween night, 1900, Ike Eisenhower, 10 years old, wanted to go out trick-or-treating with his older brothers. His parents said, no, you're too young. In a fit of uncontrollable rage, Ike storms out the house to the apple tree in the front yard, starts pounding it just in his rage till his knuckles are raw and bloody. Now, his father comes out, and as fathers do, takes a hickory switch, beats him, all right? How's that for adding discipline? Sends him to his room, all right? An hour later, 10-year-old Ike Eisenhower is still sobbing in his pillow, and his mom comes in, sits at the rocking chair by his bed, and shares this biblical counsel with Dwight Eisenhower. Proverbs 16:32, better a person slow to anger than a warrior. Better is one with self-control than one who conquers a city. Eisenhower is going to be a warrior. He was going to conquer cities. He had to first conquer his own soul, didn't he? Now, here's the interesting part. Many years later, decades later, Eisenhower, at age 76, reflected on that conversation with his mother as the one defining moment of his life that changed the course of his life. Wow. Pause there, moms. Moms, you need to hear this, all right? Your biblical counsel to your kids, it may go unheeded right now. You may say, this is no good. Let me tell you, decades later, your kids are going to rise up and call you blessed, just like Eisenhower did for his mother. This is what 76-year-old Eisenhower said. I've always looked back on that one conversation with my mother as the most valuable moment in my life. Now, he went to West Point, right? He's got a lot of valuable moments. To my youthful mind, it seemed like she talked for an hour, all right? That's pretty accurate for a kid to a mom, all right? But I suppose it only lasted for 15 minutes, all right? Eisenhower took his mother's biblical counsel and learned self-discipline, all right? God says the same thing to us. Proverbs 30 holds up a little ant, and he says, be like this ant. People, learn self-discipline, all right? Wisdom. The Bible tells us, buy wisdom, don't sell it. Wisdom is seeing life, our life, from God's perspective, and then making the choice to live that way. Wisdom is a life lived by the Word of God. All right, it pleases God when we do that. And ultimately, it's a joyful thing for us, and it leads to life. So that's wisdom. Are you wise like the ant? So you got to be asking yourself at this point, well, what is that quality of the ant that makes it so special that God says, be like the ant? Well, point one, the ant has day-by-day persistence towards a goal. That's it. Proverbs 30, 25, the ants are a people, they're not strong, they're weak, yet they provide or store up their food in the summer or the winter, all right? Have you ever gone out to your backyard and just looked at ants, all right? You can't work on a message like this, like I did, and ignore the ant. No, yeah, I went out into the backyard, I'm looking at ants, all right? What an insect it is, all right? I did a little research. Do you know ants do not have any lungs? Oh, curious fact about ants. The largest ant colony in the world is larger than the United States of America, land-wise. Ants have two stomachs. One for their own food, then they carry around food to share with others. Oh, that's pretty cool of an ant. All right. Ants are amazingly hard workers. If you ever see an ant, what's it doing? It's working. All right. Observe your dog during the day. All right. Our little chestnut, sleeping out in the sun, baby. All right, just lounging. What's an ant doing? An ant's working when you see it in the sun, all right? Now, experiments done by the Ohio University Mechanical Engineering Department on ants proved that ants can carry 5,000 times their body weight. That means if you weigh 160 pounds like I do, I could bench press 800,000 pounds if I were an ant. All right, hey, that's pretty impressive, huh? Just take a minute and just picture me bench pressing, all right? 800,000 pounds. All right, good. So Solomon, here's what happens. How does Solomon come up with these? He's probably wintertime out in his backyard like you and I do, and he's wandering around. And wintertime, he sees these deer. They're starving. They're scraping against the bark, just trying to get some food. The bears, hibernating. They're starving. Birds, what have they done in the winter? They've gone south. Squirrels and rabbits, they're scurrying around, all right? They're just trying to get some food because they're starving, all right? Where are the ants? You can't find an ant in the wintertime. They're underground. What are they doing? They're having a feast. They're partying. They got plenty of food. They're not starving, all right? And Solomon thinks, wow, that's really interesting. What an interesting thing, the way God has put together an ant, all right? That's the wisdom of ant thinking, all right? Someday there's going to be winter coming. Today, I'm going to start preparing for that goal in the future, all right? I'm going to discipline myself now for a future benefit. I'm going to store my food. I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to wait. So the ants live day by day, preparing for a certain goal. The goal was plenty of food in the wintertime, but the ant gathered food in the summertime, all right? When it looked like everybody else was laughing at him. Huh, what are you doing? We got plenty of food to eat, the bears and the deer would say, all right? It looked like meaningless acts that this ant was doing day after day. It cost energy, it cost time, it cost sweat, but day after day after day after day, this ant did it. Now, I hope that sounds like a Christian to you. All right. Once you and I place our faith in Jesus Christ, we give him our lives. We acknowledge you died on the cross for my sin. All right. My life is not my own. It is yours, Jesus. I'm reborn, new creation. All right. We have a goal in mind. We do not live just for today. We do not live for this world, do we? We live for that goal of the next world. Therefore, every day, day by day, we live looking towards that goal in the future. Now, there's a lot of things you could be doing right now than sitting in a cold church, all right, with the blaring lights, all right? You could be at the beach. You could be sleeping. You could be playing golf. There's a lot of things you could be doing. No, no. You have chosen today to discipline yourself and say, I'm coming today to worship Jesus with my brothers and sisters in Christ for a future goal. There's a lot of things that you can do with your money today, all right? But you're going to say, I choose to give 10% of my money to advance God's kingdom because I know God can do more with 90% of what I have than I could do on my own with 100%. Now, I have to stop this. I asked my daughter if I could share this because it was just such a great illustration over Christmas. We're sitting around opening Christmas presents, and one of my daughters got relatives were very generous, got a lot of money, right? About $200. Yay, she can get her Apple Watch. All right. $200, that's what she had budgeted. God brought in $200. And then I said, well, God was really generous with you, wasn't he? Oh, yeah. It was great. All right, $200. I can go get my watch. Well, what we do as Christians is we give back a tenth to the Lord. What? All right. Now, we talked about this before. It's not like the first time. But, you know, when you're sitting with 200 cash in your hand and you got a goal, it's a little hard. All right. That's 20 bucks. Now she can't get her watch. And she's like, shakes her hand. Oh, Jesus. All right. I don't think I like this idea of tithing. All right. Isn't that the way we feel? I said, oh. That is so honest. You know, I reflect on our tithing. We could have bought a car. We need another car. We could have bought a car with our tithing. There's a lot of things we can do rather than give money to the Lord, right? Isn't it? But what do as Christians? We say, God, I'm going to give you a portion, a chunk of my income right now, and I'm going to deny myself it because I know it's going to build into your kingdom and build future benefit in the future, all right? We Christians in the morning, as Byron said, we could hit the snooze alarm. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, constantly. No, we get up, we read our Bibles. We go to equipping hour, all right? We go to home group, memorize scripture. We do those kind of things. Why? It's not legalism. It is not legalism that we're doing this, trying to earn God's approval. No, it is called wise living, investing today for future benefits. So that's the biblical wise example of the ant. Now, I just started a book called Grit. The power of perseverance. All right, just in line with this, what God's doing in my life right now. A seventh grade math teacher. All right, she's observing students and she's just pulling her hair out. Why are some students succeeding and some failing? And it's not intelligence. All right? I got average students who are really soaring, and I got really good students who are not doing well. She quit being a teacher and she went and became a sociologist. All right. And she did studies. What makes students successful and other students not successful? What makes a businessman succeed and another businessman fail? What makes a soldier? You know, all these different realms. Here's what she said. It's not intelligence that determines whether you will succeed or not. It's grit. Day by day perseverance in what you're doing. Hey, that's the ant, right? All right. The quality of the ant. So that while the deer are eating, while the bears are eating, the birds are eating, ants are doing what? They're working. They're eating, but they're also working. The ant had the daily discipline and the grit, all right, now to prepare for the future. So, Christians, beginning of a new year here. What is your goal spiritually this year? What's your goal spiritually? And then I'd ask, secondly, what is your plan day by day to achieve that goal, like the ant? So the first area of ant-like wisdom is your ability and my ability to discipline ourselves, stay the course, reach the goal. All right. Mark Burnett, the TV series guy, started Survivor, started The Voice, all right, recently produced the movie Ben-Hur. He tells about when he was in his 20s, he was a British commando. And part of what their training was is that their squadron leader would give them these crazy assignments and force them to be resourceful, diligent, persevering. So he said the squadron commander took all of his insignia, took all of his wallet, any ID. He had nothing, no money, nothing. Jeans and a shirt. And the squadron leader said, you've got to go 200 miles south to London and get the signature of the orchestra conductor of the London Orchestra, and then come back here by morning. So he had like 20 hours to do this. So he does. Somehow he hitchhikes 200 miles south to London, gets to the outskirts of London, talks a cabbie into giving him a ride to the London Orchestra, says, I'll pay you back when I get back to the squadron. Doesn't have any money. How's he going to get into the London Orchestra right before they're about to ready to perform? Talks his way backstage, gets to the orchestra conductor's door, knocks on it. The orchestra conductor is Italian, doesn't speak a lick of English, all right? Like, how is he going to get there? Somehow he manages to get the signature, backpacks all of his trail, makes it back by 6 a.m. the next morning to the squadron leader. Here's the signature. Wow. Now, you know where this guy gets the ideas for Survivor from, all right? Personal experience. Here's what struck me. Just yesterday it struck me about that. We expect that kind of creativity, hard work, perseverance amidst obstacles, discipline. We expect that from our military, don't we? But do we expect that level of effort from a Christian to the God of the universe? We don't. We have a higher standard for human leaders than we do for spiritual leaders. I was just rebuked personally when I reflected on that. Our standard must be higher for God than for people. In fact, that's what Malachi 1:7 says. God says to the people of Israel, you are presenting defiled food to me. But you say, how are we defiling our food? These sacrifices that they were doing. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong, God says? Yes. When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals to me, is that not wrong? Yes. Then God says, try offering those same diseased animals to your governor. Will he accept it? No way. Isn't that the same thing? We wouldn't do things for our physical leaders, yet we're glad to do those kind of things for God. No. Standard of excellence, effort, should be the highest for God. Have you ever had to just buckle down on something and just say, man, I do not want to do this, but I am going to have the grit and persistence. Maybe it's an exam. Maybe it's a project at work, all right? And you just had to get it done, and you made the decision to achieve that goal. You did. Ever had one of your kids come to you and say, I really want to do this, but I can't. It's too hard. And you just have to take your child, and you just help them and encourage them, give them the tools to persevere, all right? Might be riding a bike. Might be learning to juggle, all right? Might be learning to drive. How about just passing chemistry, all right? Some kids, you just got to say, do it, persevere, all right? I had one daughter who wanted to whistle. Couldn't whistle. Took her 2 weeks of persevering. Finally learned to whistle, all right? Great victory there, persevering. Rocky Balboa. If you go to the top of the Philadelphia City Hall statue, raise fist, that's not boasting. All right, that's celebrating human achievement. It's so emotional for us to see Rocky Balboa's statue up there. Why? Because we have walked with him through that disciplined life of an average man. He's just an average guy, but he disciplined his life and he set a goal and he stuck by that goal day by day. That elevates the human spirit when we do that. Why? Why? Because it's God's wisdom seen in a little ant. Oscar Schindler, of Schindler's List, the German industrialist credited with saving 1,200 Jewish lives from the Nazi concentration camps. Now, Schindler is so heroic because he was methodical in what he did, all right? Diligent planning with the goal of saving the Jews. And remember the end of the movie? He's fingering his ring. He's just twirling his ring. You know what he's thinking. He doesn't even have to say it. He's thinking, man, had I persevered and sold this ring, I could have saved one more life. And that was a diligent, methodical man. The goal? Save many, many lives. So, students, all right? A great lesson you and I can learn in life is that you can be as ambitious as you want. You want to go to this college? You want to have this kind of job in the future? You want to make this kind of income? Students, you can have that kind of ambition. You can want to do many things, but your ambition is worthless, all right, unless you have the grit and the guts day by day to persevere in executing your plan. All right, stay at something, make your plan, work your plan, and achieve your goal. All right, now that's advice works in marriage. Now, I had determined early on to have a really good marriage. All right, does not come naturally, does it? All right, anybody married will tell you, good marriages do not come naturally. You got to work on it. I had to learn to write little love notes to my wife. I had to learn to take, you know, what is interesting to her when we go out on a date. All right, I bring those things up. All right, I had to learn just like you guys. All right, the football game's going. My wife wants to say something. I had to mute the football game. Turn, listen to my wife with my face. All right, not just my ears, with my face. That makes all the difference, guys. You gotta learn those things. They do not come naturally. You gotta discipline yourself. I had to learn to discipline myself when we conflict, not to raise my voice when we conflict, just to have that discussion without a raised voice. So the goal is a good marriage. Day by day, discipline is what achieves that. That's the wisdom of the ant. So a lot of you guys, you can say, man, I want to be spiritually significant for the Lord. That's my goal. I want to make an impact for Jesus Christ. Well, you can forget being spiritually significant if you cannot conquer your snooze alarm. Very common here. You got to put your feet on the ground, get out of your bed, get a cup of coffee, all right, your Bible, and time with the Lord. That's what it takes to be spiritually significant. That might mean ESPN, online gaming, late night talk shows. Hey, that's a thing of the past. You can't do it anymore, all right? Why? Because you have a new goal. You want to discipline yourself to be godly, all right? The Apostle Paul puts it like this, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? You got a lot of people running out there, but only one receives a prize. So run in such a way to achieve the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive this perishable wreath. It'll be brown in 2 weeks. All right. We discipline ourselves for that future imperishable wreath. So Paul says, I do not run aimlessly, just about. I don't box like just beating the air. No, I discipline my body, Paul says, and I keep it under control. So after preaching to others, I won't be disqualified. Chuck Swindoll and Howard Hendricks wrote a book together a little bit time ago about just older guys reflecting on the wisdom of life. It's called Reflections on Life. One of the things that struck me was Howard Hendricks, one of my DTS profs. He said, a lot of guys come up to me and they say, Prof, man, I wish I knew as much of the Bible as you do. How do you do it, Prof? And he says, I tell them in love, I can do it because I'm not like you. I look at my life, Hendrick says, and I enjoy my life. But I have evaluated my day and I prioritize the study of the Bible as my chief goal of every day. So it may mean I can only have limited time playing sports or watching TV or doing these other things. That's okay by me because I want to learn God's Word. And I know it takes day by day discipline. And that's where I find my joy. Hey, that's the ant. That's what we're talking about here. Jonathan Edwards would pray, pastor, theologian, he would pray, God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Right, how's that for an image? All right. Every time he looked earthly wise, he wanted to see eternity. That's my goal. That's what I'm living day by day for. So, 2017, be the ant, all right, by setting a spiritual goal and then a plan day by day, have the grit and determination to do that. Point two, it takes discipline to be godly, all right? I wish it weren't so. I wish it was just pray. All right, and you can be godly. No, the Apostle Paul commands in 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourselves to be godly. So if you're frustrated, if you've been frustrated, that you're not advancing spiritually as you would like to have been, just know, hey, it takes work. It takes discipline to be godly. It does not come naturally. Guess what? Godliness comes supernaturally. It comes as you say, God, I cannot do this on my own. And you pray. And you say, God, do something through me. God, you do your part, I will do my part. All right? Jesus told us, love God with all of your strength. Now, when you go work out at the gym, it takes strength. You burn calories. All right? So Jesus is saying, burn some calories doing spiritual things for God. Burn some calories. It takes strength to love God. All right? Jesus had the same 24-hour day, just like you and I have. All right? It wasn't any longer back then. All right? Yet, he was able to use his day purposefully, spiritually, diligently. Jesus said, I will build my church. That's the goal. And day by day, Jesus works in us to achieve that goal, to build us. Now, I had a young girl. She was 19 years old in our church. And she said, Pastor Greg, I want to be a missionary to Iceland. Huh. Okay. Well, that's a great goal. How are you going to achieve that goal? She said, I've already signed up for Liberty University online. Great. How long is that going to take? It's going to take 3 or 4 years. Wow. Now, some of you all may be thinking, wow, 3 to 4 years, that's just too long. All right. Well, whether you like it or not, 4 years is going to come 4 years from now. All right. And 4 years later, you're going to look back and you can either have spent that 4 years faithfully or you could be a slug. All right. Ants want to be successful in something. Proverbs 13:4. The sluggard, the slug. The sluggard craves. He desires. He has ambition. He wants. But he gets nothing. But the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. So you want to be mighty spiritually? You want to do something for the Lord? All right? You got to be faithful in home groups and equipping hour and memorizing scripture, going on a short-term mission trip. All right? God says it takes discipline to be godly. Men, you want to have great families? Guess what? You can't do that by proxy, by being absent and just wanting to. No, you got to take your kids. You got to spend time with your kids and just be there with them day in, day out. Be the ant. Forget doing 6 things for the Lord this year. That would be my advice. Choose one ministry this year and say, I'm going to do this one ministry and be successful at it. I'm going to be diligent at it. Then next year, go on to the next. Now, when George Washington was 14 years old, he wrote a list of 110 rules of civility and decent behavior as a personal guide. He used the rest of his life to be socially gracious and develop self-discipline. As a 14-year-old, 110 rules. Jonathan Edwards, while a teenager, Edwards wrote 70 resolutions. You can just Google them. Read through them. They're unbelievably challenging. About his character. 70 resolutions of how he would discipline his character and shape his character. Before he published The Poor Man's Almanac, Poor Richard's Almanac, Benjamin Franklin, this is how he trained himself to be a writer, would take the best essays from his favorite periodical, The Spectator, and he would read and reread these great essays. And then he would hide it in a drawer, and by memory, he would rewrite the essays. Then he would take the original essay out and he would compare it. And wherever he made an error against the original, he would cross it out and make corrections. That's diligent. That's ant-like diligent. Guess what? Result? Became a great writer from that. He honed his writing skills. So, what's your goal? It's going to take hard work. Tell me the last time you were spiritually uncomfortable. I'll tell you the last time you grew spiritually. They come simultaneous. All right. It was Franklin who said, there is no gain without pain. That was Benjamin Franklin. He knew it. He knew the cost. God's rigged the equation of life like that. Whatever worthy thing you are trying to do, let me tell you, it's going to be harder than you ever thought it could be possible. It's going to take longer than you ever thought would be possible. All right. Why? It's going to take much more prayer and seeking God than you ever thought you would have to invest in that worthy goal. Because more important than that goal is who you are becoming in the process of achieving that goal. Guess what? You are being conformed into the image of God Himself in Christ Jesus while you are diligently, ant-like, persevering and showing self-discipline. Self-discipline, self-control is part of God's character. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is God Himself. When you mimic that, God creates that in you. It does not come easily. God wants to shape you. So, as you start 2017, set a goal spiritually, day by day, perseverance. Now, I did something this past year that I have never accomplished in my life, all right? And that was to read the entire Bible in a year. Now, maybe many of you have done that. I don't know why. I've tried 5 times to do that, and it's embarrassing to say that, all right? It'd be much easier to just let you assume that I've always done this, all right? No, 5 times I started, and by February, I stopped, all right? And I'm, you know, just reading. It's not that I don't read my Bible. You know, I do different, smaller passages. I just don't do the whole thing. I did it last year. I just determined January 1, and I said, I'm going to do this. I don't know if it's going to be worth it, all right? I may never do it again. Guess what? It was amazing, all right? Now I know why those guys who say, read the Bible in a year, I know why they do it, all right? One, just a daily discipline, 20 minutes a day. It's not easy. You got to do that. But the daily discipline was great. I saw the full character of God displayed in a year. Wow. It's like, wow, why haven't I done that before? The themes and the threads that tie Scripture together, it's there. You get it in a year. Mostly, you know, I've got 700 books at home. All right? God has given us one book that He says, this is my book. In 1 year, I read God's book. And I feel so good about that. And just how God, just had communion with God every day. So, time and discipline to be godly. That's what Paul says. Discipline yourselves to be godly. Time and discipline are two components that are hard, but they always bear spiritual fruit. So, grow. How do you want to grow spiritually this year? What's your day-by-day plan? It takes discipline to be godly. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Right. If you're looking for an excuse, brother, you will always find an excuse. If you are looking for an opportunity, you will always find an opportunity. Number three, lastly, close up here. Exercise your yes muscle. Now, we have 643 muscles in our body. There's one more I'd like to add to that called the yes muscle. All right. The yes muscle is the muscle you exercise when you say yes to God. All right. Now, for a little while, a few years ago, I had a 24-hour gym membership. There's some of these guys, all right, Goshberg may be like this. They're sitting, like, I got my 20-pounder curl. These guys have a 100-pound curl bar in each arm. And they're going, boom, boom. I couldn't even work out. I was just amazed at them. I was just watching these guys. Like, go, man. Go. All right. It's incredible. It's so motivating. All right. And discouraging at the same time. All right. This is what I like us to picture here as we picture the yes muscle. One arm. Yes. Yes, God. Yes, getting up early. No snooze alarm. All right. No staying up late. You're just working both of those. It takes both. It takes, you got to have the yes muscle going, the no muscle going. All right. So, how are you going to work out that yes muscle? Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, all right, choose something spiritual, whatever it is. Work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. That's your goal. And then there's day-by-day persistence in that. You're serving the Lord Jesus. All right? So, say yes to God today. God, I'm going to work out heartily for you. God has given us everything He has. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. He gave. He already said yes to us, all right? How can we give back to God this year? So, when you go to the gym, you look around the gyms, they have mirrors all around there. Why? So you can see what part of the body you need to work out, all right? We won't go any farther. God's word. God's word is called a mirror by James. Hey, guess what? Open God's word and say, God, what part of my spiritual life do I need to work out this year? All right? You start looking at that, God is going to quickly reveal, like a mirror, what you need to work on. All right? Ephesians 2:10, we'll end with this, tells us, Ephesians 2:10, God has prepared good works in advance for you. Man, I love that. This year, even. I mean, if something's in the future, this year God has already planned good works for you. Guess what? Good works require work. requires energy, requires perseverance, requires grit to do. Be the good aunt, do your spiritual work. Jesus is not going to say to you, well-intended, good and faithful servant. No, it's well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Be the aunt this year. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for examples. Lord, you just pluck out of all of your creation things that we can learn by. So I pray for myself and for these sweet people here, Lord, that you would help us all grow spiritually. Not to have the ambition, Lord, but to have the goal and then like an ant, day by day persistence to please you and achieve that goal. In Christ's name, amen.